Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, let's roll out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you missed out on yesterday's, just swing on by good old sportstimeradio.com. It'll be hanging out there waiting for you to read. Of course, while you are over at sportstimeradio.com, you know, you can hit that link, follow it right on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Oh, if you could like that while you're over there, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, well, of course, that's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan. Well, a little, I guess can't really call it breaking news, but a little news here locally. I saw that the Cubs have made their announcement for their opening day starter, and in a bit of a surprise, it is going to be Kyle Hendricks getting the nod as the opener here. We never know what that means or how many innings that could mean, but apparently they chose him over Yu Darvish. I was just kind of under the impression it would be John Lester, but it looks like Lester is going to be the third guy in the rotation now. Are you surprised by the pick? Does it matter to you? Did you think, you know, who else did you think it might be?
I mean, like you said, I kind of felt it was going to be John Lester, especially with the Cubs opening up at home, so it is what it is. See, the other thing, though, is I think is when it comes to baseball and who starts and who's and the way it is today, I don't know. I think I don't know if it's so much more the media, but I feel like everyone places way too much on who's starting opening day. You know, I get it, you know, you have your number one, your two, your three, kind of how things work out. But when it comes to how the game is going to be played on the field or whatever, I think, you know, with the exception of the Dodgers, the manager, you know, and the bench manager and everybody, I think you even include all the pitchers. I don't know what their meetings are like, and, you know, let's just forget about the whole – they could be using Zoom or however they do it. You know, they have a meeting, but I still think it's the best pitcher to go up against the roster. And I know you can't really construct that for the entire season, but I think you can go at least at a 10-day pace and kind of, you know, knowing full well, obviously injuries and things like that come up. But if you just look at 10 games at a time or even a month and – you'll kind of, well, I guess you're really 10 games because you get a better idea of what the other manager's lineup is being put together. I think you're better off going that route as opposed to the definitive, I have this you know, Clayton, Lester's number one, Hughes two, Kyle's three, and then, you know, the other two. So, I don't know. I don't get so hung up on it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I think, like, for me, I believe it used to mean a lot more to be that opening day starter, you know, because it was kind of a big reward. Here you go, you know, you're our guy, you're going to go out there and start opening day. I don't know if it means much anymore. I mean, you know, obviously I'm sure it's still, you know, it's still really cool for the guy to be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm the opening day guy. That's kind of neat. But I don't know. I mean, how do you feel? Do you think it still has that same, you know, when you hear it, you know, he's the opening day starter. Does it still have that same meaning? You know, I think it used to have.
No, I don't think so. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, it was sabermetrics or, you know, anything like that that kind of crossed it out. I just think the game, you know, I don't know. I feel like with the strategy, the way it's done today is you really have to match up your pitcher against the lineup you're going against or, you know, with today, the anticipated lineup, because you don't know who's going to change. And you've got to wonder, maybe not so much Joe Maddon, but, you know, maybe going back to the Dusty Baker days in Chicago, you know, he was one that never really instituted a solid lineup, you know, 12 or 15 days in a row or anything like that. He changed it up a little bit more. And, you know, and I use him, obviously, because it's local and it's what I remember. But you've got to imagine, you know, and probably even Tony La Russa. La Russa was a big strategist, I feel like. So you got to wonder if, while back in the day, so to speak, the number one really meant something and it was like this big hoopla where it's kind of been almost more of a formality, like, hey, you're the number one, you know, you're opening day starter. But I think it's kind of lost its flair. I mean, of course, you've got guys like Clayton Kershaw, who've opened up, you know, how many years in a row. But, you know, let's just say numbers-wise, it's opening day, and, you know, the number two behind Clayton has 100 times better numbers against the projected lineup for opening day against the, you know, let's just say the Giants or whoever their opponent is. Wouldn't you rather go with that? I think that's the way the game is being played now.
Yeah, and, you know, and I mean, in all honesty, you know, if I was the Cubs, since we're facing the Brewers and we have the expanded roster, I would have probably tried to go with a Kyle Ryan or a Rowan Wick or even Brad Weck for, like, one inning and start the lefty against them and then come back with the follow-up righty and Hendricks and just make them burn up all their guys because they would start their – let you know their sabermetric lineup against the lefty, and then as soon as you went to the righty, they would go in and change everything, kind of like they did to the Dodgers in the playoffs, you know, where Wade Miley came in and pitched a better, and then they took him out for the righty, so the Dodgers went through and changed everything, you know, and just see if, you know, I mean, because they're relievers anyway, you probably get an inning out of them, but you know, just to kind of be a schmuck there, you could always do that. But yeah, I don't. You know, I'm like you. I don't have a big problem with, you know, who gets the call. It's, you know, okay, great. But you know, it's you know, at least for me, it's kind of interesting that it was Hendricks. So you know, he's been around for a while, and you know, it's a nice. I guess it's a nice reward for him. So, you know, and I know we're still, yeah, I think we're still waiting for quite a few teams to announce. I think there's 8 or 10 teams that, you know, that still haven't announced. I know we're getting, you know, that opening, I guess, evening technically on the Mickey Mouse Network. We're going to get a Garrett Cole for the Yankees and then Max Scherzer for the Nationals. And then the night game is Johnny Cueto for the Giants against Clayton Kershaw, like you mentioned. So we're getting some marquee guys to start, even though, you know, like you and I have been over, I don't know how many times now, it's probably only going to be for 3 or 4 innings. So, that's the other thing I wanted to ask you, Dan. I mean, with the season the way it is, does it almost matter who starts opening day?
No, it really doesn't. And, you know, I will say though, with Garrett Cole, is it really the Yankees versus the Nationals to open?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So that's the game they're going to open the season with. So
we're not looking for ratings at all.
No.
But yeah, that's a pretty solid matchup. And while I, you know, like we discussed, I think there's going to be a lot of 3-4 inning starters. I think this would be the game where you might not see it. I think this is the one where you let these two guys go. Both guys have excellent numbers going deep, you know, even into the eighth, ninth inning. I mean, damn, Max Scherzer had a black eye, busted face for, I forgot what happened. You know, and he still almost hit a complete game that night. So, you know, I think of those two, I think that'll definitely be a game to watch, pitching-wise. Yeah, obviously hitting-wise, too. It will be interesting, though, if, you know, Max Scherzer is able to just mow through a lot of that lineup, because then how do you compare Tim Tebow to those guys? You know, I have to throw that in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think
that series you talked about, there's a chance they're going to have to move it.
You broke up.
I said the funny thing you mentioned, you were talking Yankees Nationals is, you know, they're due to open in Washington so they can do the celebration for the Nationals. And there's looking like there's a really good chance that they're going to have to move that series because of the coronavirus.
I thought they were safe in the Capitol.
Yeah, I guess apparently not. They're saying that Washington has looked into the possibility of moving it to, you know, their spring training facility is in West Palm Beach, but, you know, obviously with what's going on in Florida, they would prefer not to go there. But their Class A team plays in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So it looks like that would probably be the alternate site if they do have to pull the plug and move these games out of Washington. But you know, right now they're just saying it's just a possibility. So we'll have to see, you know, how that goes.
I mean, at this rate, though, there's no fans in the stands. Does it really matter where they play?
No, the only thing for a game like that is you've got to give the Mickey Mouse Network time to get in there and get set up.
Yeah.
You know, because they use more cameras than like your local broadcast does. So that would be the only issue was giving them enough notice. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. There's no, you know, like you said, there's not going to be fans. It's not going to be too difficult to get the players there. Virginia to Washington, worst case scenario, it's an upright. You know, I know the major league guys are kind of spoiled and they're not used to doing that kind of thing, but, it would be very simple to do if they had to. And, I know I had a buddy who actually lived in Maryland but worked in New York and just took the train every day, kind of like you do. It was just, you know, so it, you know, they're not difficult trips to make. It's easily workable for the players. It's just the network would need a little notice to make sure they could get all this stuff taken care of. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of humorous that, you know, we're going to get the big kickoff with the two teams. You get the defending World Series champions and then the Yankees, of course. And, yeah, they might have to end up being moved. So.
Well, you know, for me, the biggest thing I'm just wondering is, which I guess I'd have to look into. So the season opens next week. For me and a lot of people, a lot of my hat heads out there, the one thing I'm looking for is the gold program. And if you don't know what the gold program is, it's basically the World Series champion opens up the season. Or they pick a day, you know, basically the banner raising day, and that's when they pull out the gold uniforms. And then it's generally,
yeah.
You know, in the past it was an all black hat. It was the Cubs and the Royals, they switched up, but I guess that's because the Giants were the first ones to win. But they do, you know, all gold hat, you know, with the gold World Series patch. For me, it's one of those collectibles that they just sit in packaging and for display only. But I'm looking to get the Washington one. I've got a regular on-field one that they made, you know, obviously when they won the World Series, I got that. But looking for this one. So that's my biggest concern with opening day for the Nats.
Yeah, humorously, again, Dan, I'm guessing it's just, somebody else who listens to the podcast and doesn't want to admit it. They, I came across an article earlier. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, 9 burning questions for the 2020 season. And the very first one, and I couldn't help but laugh, but when I read it, what will starting pitcher usage look like? How long have you and I been talking about this? I think pretty much since they officially said we were going to have a season, right? And now it's a burning question. The national media got the rights about it. So I thought that was kind of humorous. So, yeah, if you really want to get ahead of the game, people, this is the podcast you need to be listening to because, you know, we're a week out here and this guy's now just starting to talk about starting pitching. So, you know, yeah, get used to it. I mean, he does mention – the one thing he does mention that obviously you and I don't have access to is apparently the Braves, their manager Brian Snitker actually mentioned the possibility of using 2 starters per game. Like I had discussed with you a little bit to kind of help, you know, ease everything getting back into the season. So.
Yeah, and I did find an article on sportslogos.net. It's a cool site that was updated last week, July 9th. And the Nationals did unveil the red, white, blue, and gold. And I don't see a whole lot of blue in there, but they're going with the, I guess, inside the logo. But for the hat, you know, for my purposes, because I don't buy the jerseys, they're just too much money. You know, they went with the all red hat or whatever their version of red is. I don't remember the exact color. But the W will be gold. The button on top will be gold. And then it looks like, obviously, the side patch will be gold. I don't know if they'll have a New Era logo on the other side. That'll be, you know, white or gold or red or whatever. But we'll have that going. It looks pretty nice and clean. It doesn't look too crazy. So I'm sure there'll be people who have already ordered them and got them kind of coming in. So that helps me.
And now they didn't say when they're going to wear them, though, or anything like that?
It's supposed to be for the home opener. But, you know, I think that all depends on, you know, in the past, it's generally worn the home opener when they raise the banner, you know, for the stadium and whatnot. And then I think they usually do that whole series that weekend, and then that's pretty much the end of it. I would assume it all depends on what happens next week.
And you, you didn't order yours yet?
It's not available yet.
Oh.
Sadly. but if you're looking for some new WWE hats, you can find those.
Oh, I didn't even realize they. I guess they. You know, they sell everything, so why wouldn't they sell hats? But yeah. So I'm not. Did they? Have they changed any other hat that you want now? Has anybody kind of reworked their logo for this year, or how that works out?
No, I haven't really seen any, so, you know, nothing that I'm looking for. It looks like it's just, you know, obviously that opening day, that one-time weekend thing for the Nationals. I mean, the biggest ones who adopt different things are always the minor league teams, so that's always fun. You know, to look at those, but you'd be surprised. There's a lot of guys out there that buy some interesting things. You know, there was a wave of somebody who was putting, you know, hip hop logos on the side of a, you know, Yankees or whatever team you wanted. To me, that was just, it didn't really do anything for me. Several companies are coming out with, you know, the underneath the bill traditionally are either, you know, black, gray, or green. They've been doing ones that are, you know, P pink, red, blue. I don't know. I don't really get into all that. So it's just, I think it's kind of what you're looking for. But as far as teams changing logos, I haven't really seen anything. You know, the biggest one, of course, is the, what do you call it? You know, what's going to happen with the Redskins. So everyone's trying to scoop up as much Redskins gear as possible, thinking that, you know, it's going to be a high-value product. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, if I would have, you know, if I was getting my hands on one now, I would grab it. But, you know, in 3 years, if I went on eBay and seen, you know, a Washington Redskins jersey in half for $500, I would just laugh because it's really not. I don't know. I mean, and I guess kind of asking your take on it. I mean, is there a whole lot of value in that, even to begin with? I guess it's by person. You know, for me and Facebook, I always see, and I don't know why this happens with mine, with Marketplace, there's always stuff for autographed, you know, 8x10s of wrestlers. And I told you that the one day. I forgot the Mark Jindrak. I mean, who's going to pay $30 for a signed picture of Mark Jindrak wearing basketball shorts, you know, on a background? You know, that's one of those things where I just don't get the value. You know, people place so much value on it. But for me, if I get an autograph from somebody and they actually take the time to write my name, you know, because I'm not looking to sell it. I'm not looking to turn around and, you know, make money off of it, because I just don't find the value in it. You know, and I kind of, are you, where do you take on that? I mean, it's a big, I think the bigger deal is the fact that the Redskins have acknowledged that they need to change. And I think you and I were both very surprised that it happened, is happening for this upcoming season. Of course, if we get a season, because it's a lot of stuff to change. And, you know, they've got roughly 2 months to change everything. And we, you and I being here in the state of Illinois, know that's very expensive because our tax dollars went to removing all the signs of Rob Blagojevich's name from all the toll roads. So I forgot the amount of money that cost, but it was astronomical in the fact that it was a complete waste. You know, he definitely thought of himself and as an old Roman emperor where you got to put your name up everywhere. So I don't know. How do you feel about that? Do you, you know, because I've seen you post, you know, happy belated birthday, even though I sent it to you the other day, but that jersey you got for your birthday from a good friend of yours, that Braves jersey, yeah. It's a nice one. But, you know, people, of course, started bringing up, I will say, Big Jack, I was a little jealous because I've never even gotten that many comments on anything I post, so good kudos to you. But, you know, people I've seen started bringing up the Redskins stuff, and, you know, how do you feel about that? I mean, if you were to have one, would it be like a huge value for you? Like, oh, I've got something that's obsolete now.
All right. Well, let me address these in multiple orders. Okay. First off,
did you write down everything I asked?
If there are people buying those 8x10s, can you let me know? Because I still have a stack of black and white ones from the 80s when, you know, I started wrestling. I think I sold about 4,000 or so. You know, you used to sell them for a dollar at the show, but I still have quite a few left. So let me know if that market starts to pick up, and I will gladly, you know, autograph them and post them and send them to people. You know, I've been using them as like lame gifts for people, like when they're moving or leaving or something, you know, just kind of a cheap way to get out of buying them something. A, B, you'll notice that every one of those people who posted about that jersey didn't even realize it was my birthday and actually thought I bought it. So, and then C, there was a guy also who posted said that it should have been, you know, well, you should have bought something Washington Redskins. Think about it, Dan. Like, you mentioned the biggest reason to not buy anything Washington Redskin. Do you know how many people are going to do that right now? I mean, you know, this is the thing that happens. Oh, well, there aren't going to be Redskins. Okay, well, we got to get as many as we can. You know, how many jerseys can we buy? How many hats can we buy? How many T-shirts can we buy? You know, and the funny thing is the only one who's making money off of it on there is the Redskins because, you know, it's a football jersey. I mean, unless you can prove it was game-worn by Walter Payton or Tom Brady or, you know, like if you're ripping off Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey, you know, something like that, you know, then there's going to be some money in it. I mean, what the jersey costs now on NFL.com? It's got to be close to $100, right? So, you know, I mean, if you think about it, there's a chance you'd be lucky to get your $100 back. And, you know, the other odd part is it's the Redskins. They don't really have a marquee player. You know, I mean, they're going to go, oh, well, here I have this Dwayne Haskins jersey. Okay, great. Well, you know, maybe Dan might be interested in an Adrian Peterson jersey, but I doubt he's going to give you very much more over what you paid for it. So, you know, you paid $100 for it. If you're lucky, you make $110. Well, I made $10. Was it really worth it? Okay, yeah, I made a profit, but it was, you know, and I mean, it's just, you know, it's going to be the oversaturation of the market theory. And, you know, maybe if you buy it and you sit on it for 50 years, you know, maybe your kids could sell it for a profit after you're dead, because then there probably won't be as many of them floating around. But, you know, the other thing, like you mentioned, I seriously doubt they're going to have the name changed for this season. You know, that's a gigantic undertaking. So you're looking at the possibility of Redskins gear being sold until January.
Yeah, you know, didn't you mention that Nike and didn't you mention Nike and the others had taken it down already?
They took it down, but obviously that doesn't mean it's not being sold.
Yeah.
So, you know, and think about it, Dan. I mean, you know how the market works. If there's a run on Redskins gear, you know, and especially once they announce that they have a new name and, you know, they've acquired the trademark and this is what they're going to do, you know, Nike and I forgot Amazon, they're going to want to sell out of that inventory. They're not going to want to hold on to it, you know, because that would just be stupid. They're probably going to be money. So, you know, they'll start selling it again.
I don't think so. I mean, the way, you know, I don't think you'd get a huge enough boycott. But, I mean, you think about Nike in general, I highly doubt they'd be the first, you know, I highly doubt that they would be putting this out there. If they were smart, they would just take it all and burn it. I don't even think you'd want to give it to, you know, the third world countries like they normally do with, you know, defunct merchandise like that. I don't know what they're going to do with it. But you got to remember, after the whole Colin Kaepernick thing and his, I don't know what you want to call it, departure from the NFL, you know, they were the ones who signed him to that thing to do whatever he was supposed to do. Or, you know, I really don't know what the whole thing was that. They were just trying to get out in front of it. So if they're in that camp, I highly doubt that they would put out, you know, end up releasing any of the Nike stuff unless they had some third-party seller that they can,
right.
You know how that goes. I think that would probably what would end up happening.
Yeah, my guess is that's what they would do, is they would sell it to a third party that would then, you know, do the selling for them, you know, however they've got, you know, however it works out. But, yeah, I don't see it being, again, for, you know, something like Nike, maybe it's not that big a deal for them to take a loss. You know, it's probably a nice little write-off for them. But, yeah, it's just, you know, I won't be surprised to see, you know, Amazon pop back up. And, you know, they do actually. You know, Amazon actually does still some Redskin stuff. You know, they're just not, you know, like they're not selling jerseys, but there's some, you know, there's some books out there with, you know, the Redskin name on it. And, you know, they're still selling football cards. So, you know, I mean, if you're looking for, like, here, the one we found is 100 Things Redskins Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. you know, and it's got a gigantic logo, you know, helmet on there with the logo on it. So, you know, there is still stuff out there that, you know, you can hunt down if you're, you know, if you're really looking for it. You know, like the one here, especially, you know, Dan, it's too bad your birthday's not closer, because here is a Washington Redskin mask, you know, in the pandemic, you know, going on, we all have to wear masks. You'd definitely be getting one of these for $9.46, you know, if it was closer to your birthday. I may have to buy one just to hang on until your birthday comes around.
Yeah, well, and here's one thing I did find. So the Redskins haven't really looked into, you know, there's nothing that's official. You know, it's trademark issues. So
yeah.
I guess one of the issues is what they call a trademark squatter. This guy, Philip McCauley, you know, Virginia-based actuary. So if you see the word actuary and you actually don't know what that means, just know he went to a hell of a lot of school, knows math better than any of us, and makes a shit ton of money. Sorry for the – I don't have any other word for – you know. But he does. An actuary is something you don't – you know, regular people like you and I don't know about. I only – it's only because I met someone who tried to be one and they quit because it's so hard. But, you know, currently he owns – and this is one of those guys that, you know, is – I don't know if you call him smart or dumb or just crazy, but he goes up and trademarks things. So currently
yeah.
He has four names trademarked. Shoot, where did it go? You know, four names that could possibly be, damn it. I guess it was like Washington Red Wings, Americans. And, oh, here we go. The Americans, Red Tails, Renegades, and Red Hawks. I mean, of all those, let's be honest, I think Americans would kind of be a dumb name for the team, simply because the Cowboys, America's team, even though
yeah.
America's team hasn't done anything really since I watched the NFL, it seems like. The Red Tails, I don't know about you, Big Jack, but the Red Tails to me sounds like a college or a minor league team, you know.
Well,
remember,
Red Tails is the one that won the fan poll. So,
So this guy back in 2015 scooped it up because there was a fan poll. Smart man.
Yeah.
Renegades and Red Hawks. I don't know. When you see all four of those names, and mind you, this guy has emailed the NFL trademark attorneys. On what day do you think he emailed them, Big Jack? Just one special day, July 4th. So,
yeah.
You know, and he hasn't heard a response. But for me, you know, as a fan, or just kind of a way things go, I think the Renegades would be a really cool name, but wasn't that an XFL name?
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I don't remember which team, but it was an XFL
team. Yeah, I don't remember which team it was either, but I think the NFL would want to steer away from that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of get into the mind of Snyder and to see what they're marketing and where they're going with a new team. I mean, I don't know. If you were looking into it, I know you don't do this, neither do I, but what would you be looking at aside from a fan poll? Was it Red Feathers, Red Tails? I don't know. It seems kind of meh.
Yeah, you know, it's so tough to, and I did look, the Renegades was actually the name of the Dallas franchise in the XFL. So how funny would that be if, you know,
yeah.
So, you know, if a Washington team wanted to pick that. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's so tough to pick a name, you know, and like I can't remember what station I was listening to on the good old Alexa, but they were really saying that they should just go with the classic name Senators. You know, they really like that name. And I know it's only been associated with baseball, you know, in the Washington
mm-hmm.
area. There's been two versions of the Washington Senators. You know, and I did mention the other day that is also the name of the team that the Globetrotters beat on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you know, I mean, that has no effect there. And I think I may be the only one who actually knew that for some reason or remembered it just because I have that idiot at memory. But, yeah, so, you know, I think it just kind of depends on where you stand. But, you know, when you kind of look at it, you know, like I could understand them not wanting to pay this guy for the trademark because I'm sure he's going to ask for a boatload. So, you know, I could see going another way. And, you know, it kind of reminded me, like you mentioned, the trademarks when people were going out and buying certain internet names before companies or people or stuff could get that and then selling it back to the company. So, yeah, I guess that's what an actuary is, right? He's just smarter than everybody else and gets out ahead of the curve. So I'll have no shot of ever being, but, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, what do you associate with Washington? You know, I mean, it's mostly political.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could see them going that route if they went something like that. I don't know why people seem to think that the name red has to be involved, but you know, they could still use the color red if they were the Senators or the Americans or the Capitals or the Nationals or the Blueprints or the, you know, the Washington Abraham Lincolns, you know, whatever, you know, they decide to go with their color scheme could still be their color scheme. But, yeah, like, you know, because, like, I'm trying to think of what else Washington is known for besides politics. And that's, I mean, you know, they're not going to be called the Washington Cherry Blossoms. So, yeah, what else do you go with?
Well, you know, and here's the one thing that comes to mind for me. So, it's been a controversial thing to have them name the Redskins, you know, dating back from the day they were named, derogatory term. But, you know, for like you and I think having lived with it for so long, it's not viewed as that, you know, we think of the football team, but that doesn't make it okay. You know, but with that kind of going along with that, you know, the controversy, the negativity that's around it, you know, there's a lot of Algonquin speaking Native Americans that, you know, surrounded the Potomac River and, you know, were native to that area. So I don't know how far they were driven out or anything like that, but I can only assume that you still have to have some sort of Native American tribe, you know, people in that area that I think it would be time that maybe you reached out to them and started working with them and trying to, you know, preserve that history and do a homage to them, you know, as opposed to the Redskins putting Native Americans into a negative light, you know, with that term and kind of really going 180 degrees and turning it around and turning it into something positive and being reflective of those peoples that, you know, originally inhabited that land. So I don't know if they're going that deep into it, but, you know, for me, that would be a route that I would definitely be entertaining because you kind of want to bring that back and you want to get in line with, you know, like the Blackhawks and I forgot the other team that really, you know, came out. And, you know, when you kind of stand in line, when you think about the Indians, you know, it's really not a derogatory term, so to speak. But at the same time, you got to wonder, is it time to maybe change the name? Because, you know, the reason Native Americans were given the term as Indian was because Columbus and those first, you know, that landed here thought they hit India.
Yeah.
So hence the name, you know. And, you know, again, it's one of those things that I don't think is fully divulged when you learn history, if they're even teaching it anymore in elementary to junior high. So, you know, do you look for something that's more that goes along with that area, you know, as opposed to just Indians? And obviously, Cleveland Native Americans would sound just wouldn't work. But you know, they're already moving away from using the Chief Wahoo logo, which a lot of people are over the top. Just, you know, again, just like the Redskins with that. So, you know, you got to wonder if the Indians will be next. But again, when it comes to the Washington football team, it's just, I think we'll all be surprised. But, you know, I think, I don't want to say so much for me, but for this time and for everything that's kind of going on in this country, for them, I think it would be best to be going out to that community, trying to, you know, establish a relationship and bring that out into the open, you know, into the mainstream. Because they're not going to be called the Washington Hamiltons, even though everyone loves that play. I refuse to watch it on Disney because of the hype.
I was going to the other day, and I just never got around to it. So, But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, again, you kind of look back, and I mean, what do they need? I mean, you know, you can't just name it after one president. So, you know, that's just kind of how it looked. I did see a stat, but I don't know if that would be any good, that Washington, the D.C. residents drink more wine per capita than any other state in the union. So I don't think we would want to go there.
No, you know. You know, and that's another thing. I mean, do you stick with Washington? Do you come out and just, you know, revamp the whole thing? And, you know, like the Las Vegas Raiders will be I don't remember. But, you know, the hockey team is the Vegas Knights. It's not the Las Vegas Knights, the Vegas Knights. You know, do you do something where you're incorporating D.C. instead of Washington?
Well, remember,
and, you know, not to take away.
You know, the XFL team was the D.C. Defenders.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's where I got that from.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. So, I mean, there's a thousand possibilities. And even though, you know, he won his battle 5 years ago with the trademarks and that whole nine, I just don't understand why this wasn't like on the books, on the board, you know, research and development. I know it's not development, but I just don't understand why this wasn't on the back burner 5 years ago while, you know, even having it a consideration. So, this is one of those things where,
you know, Schneider came up hardcore. And, you know, I mean, he's just one of those guys. I mean, he said that he would never change the name, no matter what. So, you know, he was, you know, and apparently that's just how he is. So it was, you know, just going to be his thing, and he wasn't going to let it go. But, you know, now it's to the point, you know, once it starts to cost you money, well, that's a different story. And, yeah, I mean, I honestly think you're right. I think they should scrap the whole Washington thing and just go with, you know, go with D.C.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know.
I don't by any means think, you know, that having the Washington is a bad thing. I just think if you're moving forward with a new, you know, a new name, a new team name, which, Big Jack, I don't know if you're in the same, if I invited you to this other Facebook group I'm in. I don't frequent it as much, but I think it's For the Love of Uniforms, what it's called. It's an interesting one. I just like looking at what some of these guys have. I mean, some of these guys get way too involved, you know, talking trash. Oh, that's a, you know, a bootleg jersey. I'm like, whatever. But, you know, one guy always refers to it as nicknames, and I'm like, it's not a nickname. It's the full name, you idiot. You know what I mean? Like, the Cubs, Chicago Cubs, the word Cub isn't a nickname. It's part of the full name. If anything, it's a, quote, last name. Lovable Losers is what you would call a nickname. So I don't know, no one needed to hear that, but I just had to put that out there. And then I lost track of where I was going with that. Can you bring me back, Big Jack? Wheel me back into where what we were actually talking about there.
We were just kind of trying to figure out what they could call or how they could go about calling the team.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think there's any negative connotation with the word Washington. I just think that if they're coming up with a new name for the team, a new logo, you have to entertain all ideas to kind of make it reflect just the way today is. You got to have some edge. You got to have some coolness to it, right? I guess I didn't realize it, but the DC was a cool thing. DC Defenders.
Yeah,
it gave it something different.
That's the way I would go. I would go with, try to find something that, would be considered hip or cool or new, kind of trying to fit in with today's culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, that would be, I wouldn't have a problem. If they go with Washington, that's great. There's nothing wrong with being, the Washington, whatever they want to call it. In all honesty, I think they should just call them the Washington Musketeers and go from there. Come up with something funky, like DC Defenders was cool. That was kind of a neat little name. But work off that. I mean, I don't know what the state bird of Washington is, being that it's DC and they're technically not a state if they have one but you could use something like that or do what a lot of teams have done in the past is turn to, like the elementary school kids and give them the option, hey, what would you call the team? And, kind of get the public involved, and see what they would come up with. There's a millions of ways to do this. It's just, what Dan Snyder is going to decide that he wants. And unfortunately, there's a really good chance he's going to make the wrong choice, Dan, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
That's just his track record. When you look at things, he's not been on the best side of doing this. So we'll have to see. Oh, but all right, Dan, I wanted to run this one by you because I thought this was kind of, I don't know. I don't want to call it interesting because I hope it's nothing serious, but NBA wise, Zion Williamson had to leave the bubble today, Dan. He had an urgent family matter that he had to care of. So hopefully it's not serious. Now, Zion is one of those marquee guys that the NBA, they're building around this guy for the future. Once LeBron's gone, they would love it for it to be, Zion's league. Do you possibly see them, without us knowing, kind of secretly maybe adjusting their rules a little bit to get Zion back quicker than they would anybody else?
I don't think they can. I think they would definitely try it, but I don't think it would be a smart move for them.
The other thing I really wanted to mention, I meant to ask you this yesterday, but I think we ran out of time. What do you think about this NBA hotline where players can call and actually, the term they're using is snitch on other players who go outside the bubble? And I know there was a post from, I think he's with the Sacramento Kings, I believe it's Rashard Holmes, I may be incorrect on his first name, but he got a food delivery and accidentally went outside the bubble to pick it up because they'll bring the food to the hotel. But he broke the bubble going outside to meet the guy and didn't even realize it and had to go into quarantine. So he apologized. and it was just an honest mistake. And I don't know why the hotels wouldn't have a service that would bring NBA players their stuff. That's kind of stupid. But, yeah, how do you feel about this where you can call and basically snitch on another player? And then, of course, my question is, if I'm playing the Lakers in a series, I'm calling and saying I saw LeBron outside and he needs to go into quarantine.
That would be a good one. You know, they should have video surveillance, right, for everything.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, but you know, there's a way around. You know, there's always a way around that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't know, Big Jack. That's kind of. I guess you got to have it, but that's the state of our. It's not just the NBA, but that's pretty much the way our country works today, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know, because obviously there's going to be the players. You know, if you get snitched on, obviously you're told on. You know, you're going to be really upset that somebody told on you. But then again, you're doing something you know you're not supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just, you know, and obviously if you're outside and you contract it, but you don't get caught, and then you bring it inside, you literally could start an epidemic. Just passing it from player to player because you had to go outside. So, you know, I find it difficult to believe that these guys just can't stay in a hotel with all the, you know, even if it's a subpar hotel, for these guys, subpar isn't going to be what you and I would consider subpar.
Yeah, I don't, to be honest, I don't know what to say because, you know, I get, the two times I left for work, it was pretty boring just sitting in a hotel room. I'll be honest. You know, it's no bigger than anything. I mean, you got all your social media stuff. You know, these guys are a lot more, a lot of the younger guys are a lot more in tune with it.
Yeah.
You could sit there and social media stuff all day, but you know, podcasting and all that good stuff.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you can watch movies, and you know, there. I mean, there's always stuff to do. I mean, you know, the hotel's got, you know, it's going to have a more than adequate workout facility for these guys. You know, I mean, there's, work on your mental acumen, read a book for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there. You know, find a new hobby. You know, I know the funny one, I don't know if you saw the video of this, but apparently Ben Simmons went fishing, and he caught a fish, and he went to throw it back, and it looked more like it slipped out of his hand, but it missed and landed on the dock. So now, of course, the joke is, because Ben Simmons isn't a great shooter, that he couldn't even throw a fish back into the ocean. So, it's kind of funny. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, you got to remember, I was stuck, you know, in the house for basically a month. You know, my big excitement was driving out to do contactless grocery pickup because that's literally all I could do. So I get it, but obviously their hotel room is probably nicer than my apartment. You know, and I made it through because, you know, they're not staying in the hotel rooms where you walk in and the bathroom's to the left and there's the bed. And that's the end of your room. These guys are probably in luxury suites. So, yeah, it's just, I mean, is it really that, you know, go and, you know, you can go out in the hotel lobby, talk, you know, meet up with your, you know, the other NBA players. I mean, your guys are there. You can still hang out. You know, I'm sure the hotel bar is probably open. So, yeah, I mean, just, feeling sorry for these guys just isn't going to kind of work for me. I don't think I'd have a problem with it just because you're used to, you know, going out and partying. Maybe you could learn a different way of life here and become a better person.
Nah, you don't want to do that.
But yeah, I just thought it was kind of humorous that, you know, because I guess apparently they've already gotten some calls that they've had to look into. So it's kind of interesting that, yeah, you can call and be like, hey, you know, do you think they disguise their voice when they call and it's like deep throat?
Well, I mean, you can't trust anybody. So, you know, it's not like you're calling home. Well, maybe you could call your mom and tell your mom to call the number.
Cause I just wonder, you know, how does it, you know, because, I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you're the guy following the rules, I'm guessing you don't want to get sick. So you wouldn't want these other guys going out and taking a chance that they're going to get sick, especially in Florida, where it seems like just about everybody has coronavirus. So, yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's almost kind of a double-edged sword, Dan. You know, if you call, you're a snitch, and you know what they say about snitches. You know, you're like a traitor to NBA. But then again, if you don't call and this guy brings back the illness and everybody gets sick, then you're a bad guy for not calling, aren't you?
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I don't know. it just seemed kind of strange. I guess look at it this way. Would you call on somebody, Dan, if you were an NBA player?
See, that's such a tough one. You know, I didn't grow up in the snitch world, so I think that's where you're going to find your gaps. You know, LeBron is kind of pretty much the oldest guy in the league almost, kind of, you know, he's the end of that kind of generation. You never know. He is, you know, but his position, he almost has to, you know, he has to be the one that does stuff like that. But I think a lot of guys, you know, the younger generation might be quicker too. But I also think it depends on the environment you grew up in, you know. I don't know, you know, because like with my mom, you know, let's just take there, this is nothing criminal, but, you know, as kids, they were taught, you know, they got hit, they got more like beat for anything. But they were always told to never snitch. So my mom is number 4 out of 7. So if number 1 was doing whatever they weren't supposed to be doing and my mom knew about it, she wasn't supposed to snitch on them. Because if she snitched on them, she'd get in trouble for snitching.
Yeah.
But if she didn't tell on them, she got in trouble for not telling, you know, not telling that number 1 was doing something stupid. You know what I mean? So, and that's where I say it's generational. And I think you're going to have guys that that are calling, but I also think it depends on how this, you know, and I don't know how the bubble has been activated. You know, if their families are with, you damn well know if, you know, LeBron and his wife are there and she sees some stuff that she doesn't like, she would be like, you need to be calling. Hey, you know, he's like, babe,
yeah.
I don't want to sit. Hey, you know, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, if she sees a bunch of the young cats out there, oh my God, I sound old. I just said young cats out there, you know, leaving the bubble for whatever this and that, you know, she's going to be on him to, you know, be calling where he might not want to, but in the end he might have to, because, you know, he's got to live with her. He don't have to live with those guys. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it becomes even more difficult for, you know, a player, especially if you have your kids with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that, you know, that that adds a whole different, you know, kind of dimension to it. Because, you know, if it's just you or you and your wife, you know, okay, that, you know, you can kind of deal with it. But, I mean, the last thing you got to think a player wants is for one of his kids to get sick.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was part of the reason some of these guys sat out. I mean, you got to take care of your family. So, you know, I think that could make an interesting dynamic in – I do just kind of wonder how they're protecting guys from calling. Come on, we're done for the day, and Jim was actually going to be Monday. He's doing this yesterday, guys, because he's got to get ready for the fantasy draft to tomorrow, so he used that extra time. Don't be hard on him. I'm going to be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock to start Monday, too. He's going to have two competitors for the fantasy draft. I want to let you know, foodsomeradio.com, check out the blog that went up yesterday. Hey, you want to go there? Go ahead and like this. Please? I don't think it's a good thing to go with this awesome time radio. I'm just going to go on Twitter if you'd like to punch it down and smile and stuff. Just real quick with that. If you stop by, I'll just do it live.
Thank you very much for being here.